John chapter 20, and I draw your attention to verse 27, where we read, "Then he said to Thomas," the Lord Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." It is those words at the end that I want to consider. This call to faith from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a call to faith, and he says, be not faithless, but believing. A call to Thomas, a call to one who needed it, because Thomas, very rightly so, we often refer to as doubting Thomas. And this proves it. Don't be faithless, but believing. The Lord Jesus knew it. The Lord Jesus knows our doubts. He knows our fears. And so Thomas wasn't there the week before, you see. You know the story, we read it. He wasn't at the first appearance of Christ to the apostles. It says in verse 24, Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And then the other disciples, they said unto him, they seen him during the week, and they said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And so he was stubborn. He was determined to be faithless. He was determined to be unbelieving. I will not believe, he said. Stubborn unbelief. He rejected the testimony of his brethren whenever they said to him. And that's all we have. All we have is the apostolic testimony. And it's enough. But it wasn't enough for Thomas. I have to see myself. I have to put my hand into his side. I have to put my fingers into the wounds in his hands. It wasn't enough for him. And so he stubbornly and unreasonably imposed his own test of truth. He refused to believe the word. And he demanded the evidences for his senses. His eyes and his touch. But we don't need eyes and touch for faith. But we do need God's word, which is to be believed and received. Now the Lord might have left Thomas to his folly. In fact, he did the whole week long. But the next week, Thomas was in the meeting. And he was challenged by the Lord Jesus, as we see in our text. And the Lord Jesus didn't scorn him, and he didn't mock him, and he wasn't severe with him, but he was kind to him. And yet, enough to shame him and make him feel sinful. And drawing from Thomas's own unbelieving words, he said there in verse 27, reach hither your finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. You see, the Lord Jesus knew what Thomas said. He knew what he said. He knows what we say. He knows our unbelief. He knows how we express it. And the Lord Jesus has taken the words of Thomas and he's expressed his unbelief. But he doesn't abrade him. He's kind and he tells him to do it. I don't think that Thomas did do it. I don't think he had to use his fingers and his hand. I just think he was just rebuked enough. And he said, my Lord, my God. And so Thomas is humbled by the Lord Jesus. And you know, and like Thomas, you've come to the meeting tonight. You're here. Just like Thomas was in the meeting. And Christ is here. He's here. Whereas people gather together, he's in the midst. And you're here in a good purpose, I trust. You're here seeking. You're here to meet the Lord. You're here for a good spiritual purpose. And no doubt all of us are struggling with issues and things. And there may be some of us struggling with unbelief and with doubts and with fears. You have to struggle with those things. We all do. There are times whenever the devil comes to us and he says, if, the way he did to Christ, and he would cast doubts into our minds and hearts, and the child of God has a struggle and a battle. But don't despair. The Lord Jesus knows. The gentle Jesus knows where you are in faith. He knows what stage of faith you're at. He knows your doubts and your fears. But you're here. And you're around his word. And here's a word for you tonight. Be not faithless, but believing. The Lord Jesus is speaking it as true to you and to me, as he did to Thomas. He says this to all his people all the time. Don't be faithless, but be believing. And that's his word for you tonight. And just as he had it for Thomas, you take it to your own heart. The Lord knows your heart. He knows your doubts. And this is his word. It's his call to you. Be not faithless, but believing. It's five words in English. It's also five words in the Greek. And it literally is, become not unbelieving, but believing. And it's a word for us all, whether we're saints, because as saints we struggle. I have to say like that man, I believe, Lord. Oh, but help my unbelief. Unbelief's a problem the saints have to battle with. And of course, sinners have that problem too. They are faithless and unbelieving. It's their characteristic. Unbelievers. And this is a word for them too. If you're not saved, the Lord says the very same word to you, sinner, as he said to the saints. Don't be faithless, don't be unbelieving, but be believing. The call is twofold. It's negative. Be not faithless. Become not unbelieving, but it's also positive. But believing. Don't be one. Be the other. Don't go down the avenue of unbelief. Don't become unbelieving. Don't go down that avenue that Thomas was going down. He was going down it and he said, I won't believe. And he was going down that avenue and the Lord says, don't be going down that avenue, Thomas. But walk on the path of faith. Like your father Abraham, who was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So don't go down the avenue of unbelief. Thomas mustn't continue down doubting lane. The Lord's calling him back up to walk the path of faith. And brethren and sisters, the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith. We're kept by faith. We have our joy and our victory through faith. Faith is vital. So don't be faithless, but be believing. Believe me. Believe my word. Get into the road of faith and conviction and assurance. Remember the Apostle Paul, doesn't he warn us about the latter times? The times that we're actually in now, the latter times. The last stage of the earth. That duration, and the Apostle said, he says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of men. We're in that age. Many are going down the path of unbelief. They're being faithless. They're being unbelieving. The devil's deluded them and they're continuing on that road. And so Paul wrote about that. The faithless road. And you remember how the Lord Jesus was grieved at the unbelief of the people. And he said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I suffer you? How long do I have to bear you?" Unbelief and perverseness. And that characterizes this age as well, those two things. Unbelief and perverseness. Perverseness is abounding. And unbelief is abounding. It hasn't changed. But the Lord Jesus calls us to faith. So many are on the path of unbelief that the Lord Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes back again, shall he even find faith on the earth? Will there be any on the faithful path at all?" That's a very interesting question. When he comes, shall he find faith? But he says to us, don't be faithless, be believing. So I want to play this text to your heart tonight in various ways as the Lord helps us, and may help us. And just speaking in a general manner, I would call you to bring this word to your Bibles. Whenever you read your Bible, whenever you open the scripture, whenever you go through the Word of God, or whenever you hear the text of the Word expounded, whenever you hear the preaching, whether it's a command, or whether it's a promise, or whether it's a doctrine or an exhortation, or whether it's a warning, or whether it's a truth, or even if it's a historical fact, you need to write this text over it. Don't be unbelieving. Believe. Believe the text. Believe the Bible. Whenever anything meets us in the Bible, and when the Lord brings before us any scripture, that's what we need to have in our mind. Now you believe this. Don't you go down Dowding Avenue about this. I'm talking about believing the inspiration and the infallibility and the inerrancy of God's holy word, the Bible. You see, we live in an age whenever there is the rise of rationalism in the last 300 years and criticism of the text, the tearing of the God's word apart, and the transferring of the miracles to tales and legends, like the Greek legends, bringing it all into the world of myth. No, we must not do that. Don't be unbelieving. Believe God's word. You know, even little children scorn the Bible today. They receive it as a volume of mere tales. But every time you lift the book, you hear this call of Christ. Write it on the very first page. Get a pen and write it in bold on the very flyleaf of your Bible. Be not faithless, but believing. Reach in thy finger. Reach thy hand into the book. Turn the text. Turn the scriptures. Go to Calvary. And reach your hand into the wounds of Christ. And reach your hand into his miracles and his works. And don't be faithless, but be believing. Receive it all. Put your hand on every book. The Lord Jesus says, reach hither in your hand. And don't be faithless, but be believing. And so you hear this call of God. Don't doubt the Bible. Don't let the devil fill you with unbelief about the scripture. Don't go down doubting lane in regard to God's word. No, no. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, "O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And that's how the Lord said to his apostles, "You're just slow to believe the Bible. You're slow to believe Isaiah 53. You're slow to believe everything that the prophets have said. Don't be like that. O fools and slow of heart to believe, be not faithless, but believing. And so if it's in this book, you believe it. You believe your Bible. All scripture, you see, is given by inspiration of God. God has to communicate to us sinners. And where do we find this communication? Where do we find this revelation? And the Christian faith says that it's in the Bible, in the Word of God. And that's what the Lord Jesus taught. And we just believe Christ. We believe Christ. He received the Bible. And we're just old-fashioned enough just to do what he did. The prophets. And no prophecy came at old time by the will of man. But holy men of God spake as they were borne along by the Holy Ghost. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well to take heed. Don't be faithless, but believing. Don't doubt the miracles. Don't doubt anything. Believe and receive it all. But then speaking more specifically, we spoke generally just about the Bible and everything in the Bible. But speaking more specifically, I would call you to bring this word to the person and work of Jesus Christ. To the person and the work of the Savior. Isn't that the area Thomas is having difficulty with? He can't believe in the powerful resurrection of Christ. He's having trouble with it. He won't believe that aspect of his work. He's doubting the resurrection. He just can't receive it. And he stubbornly goes down doubting lane. You see, he witnessed probably the cross, the agony, and the brokenness of Calvary on the body of Christ. He probably saw the emaciated corpse of our Lord. Had lain 3 days in the cold tomb. It is true that he witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ raising people from the dead. But the Lord Jesus was alive when he did that. Thomas was having trouble with him as dead doing it. He can't receive it. And his unbelief is even deeper than that. Because I believe he's struggling with the person of Christ. He's struggling with his person. Could this person die like this? In weakness? And so, you'll see whenever he does say, what does he say to the Lord? He says, my Lord and my God. I don't have any problem with it now, Lord. Remember how the apostle said, we thought it had been him. We thought it had been him. That would redeem us and deliver us. We thought it had been him. But he's dead. He's in the tomb. Now Thomas was like one of those and he just couldn't receive the resurrection. And we thought it had been him, but we must have been wrong. I won't believe. The Lord Jesus has graciously appeared to him. And now Thomas realizes he has powerfully raised himself. He must be the Son of God. He must be the Lord of glory. He must be the very God of God. And thus Thomas says, my Lord and my God. He refuses to be unbelieving anymore. He refuses to doubt the resurrection anymore. He refuses to doubt the divine sonship of Jesus Christ anymore. He refuses to doubt his lordship and his supreme deity. He refuses to have unbelief about these things anymore. And he says, I believe. My Lord and my God. And so, his faith in the person and work of Christ was strengthened. And the person and work of Christ, men and women, is the substance of the scriptures, isn't it? Isn't the Bible about him? This God who come into the world and redeem us, prophesied by the prophets, described by the Gospels, and explained by the epistles. It's all there. The person and work of Christ. And we must hold fast to the person and work of Christ as it is revealed. We must receive the Christian faith as it is revealed in his word. We must believe the supreme deity of Jesus Christ, that he's God and man. We must not question the incarnation. It wasn't just a mere man born in Bethlehem. He's the Lord of glory. Don't be unfaithless. Don't be unbelieving. Don't ever go down the road of doubt about these things. He's God of God. He's light of light. He's the divine Savior. He's God manifest in flesh. And so don't go down the road of unbelief about the person of Christ. The mighty God, Emmanuel, God with us. And then his life and his miracles and the works that he did. And all the stories that we have about Jesus. Don't be faithless. Don't doubt them. Believe them. And especially the atonement of Calvary. The sacrifice of his body and blood for our sins on the cross. For the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And Christ died for our sins. Be not faithless, but believing. Concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, I would speak to you about this matter of eternal life. And your assurance and comfort, child of God, and your Savior Jesus Christ. We must especially use this text in the matter of the gospel. And when the gospel comes to us, we must say, we must hear Christ say, don't be faithless, but believing, believe my gospel. And so when the gospel comes and it tells us our need as sinners, we believe that. We go down the road of faith concerning that. We're nothing but sinners. And it tells us the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it has these calls of the gospel. Come unto me, Jesus says. Don't be faithless, but believing. Believe the calls. Receive the calls. Obey the calls. Go down the road of faith in regard to the call of the gospel and the promises to those who come. He that believeth on me, Jesus says, has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Don't be doubters. Don't be faithless. Don't be unbelieving. Have assurance. Have conviction. Be believing. It is in this area, is it not, where God's people oftentimes lack comfort because they're undoubtingly in like Thomas. And they hear the calls. And they've even responded to the calls and they come. But they can't believe the promise. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. You should be comforted. Don't be unbelieving. Don't be doubting. You'll not be comforted down doubting lane. You have to believe the promises. You have to believe the gospel. And in believing, you have comfort. So don't be unbelieving. Don't be faithless. Don't be going down that lane of unbelief. This is the record that God hath given to us. That he's given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Do you believe in Christ? You're trusting in him as your Savior. He's my only hope. He's my only redeemer. He's the only one who can deal with my sins. I know there's no other. I want no other. Then be comforted. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Don't be faithless, but be believing. And get assurance and conviction. And refuse to be a doubting Thomas. Go down the path of faith. Believe the promises and believe the gospel. And then we can apply this in another way. And whenever we go through strange, inexplicable providences, this is a verse that we need to keep in mind. Don't become unbelieving, but believe. Whenever you go into a period of darkness, dark providences, as we sometimes do, sometimes we feel abandoned. Sometimes we're brought low through persecution, perhaps, or through sickness, or just through weakness that just never seems to go away, or problems that just seem to multiply, and we're almost driven to despair. Well, there are promises about those things, and you need to find them in the Bible, and you need to come before the Lord, and you need to let the Lord know your struggle and your doubts, and he'll give you help. And he gave you promises, but you have to believe them. There are so many promises in your dark providences. Like, for example, Isaiah 43, when thou passest through the waters. Maybe that's you tonight, you're passing through the waters. Well, the Lord says, I will be with thee. Don't be faithless, be believing. You need to write this verse beside everything in the Bible. Especially when you're going through the dark times. And when you pass through the rivers, they'll not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, it won't be the end of you. You'll not be burned. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll strengthen you, the Lord says. The Lord will give strength unto you. Will he plead against you with his great power? No, he gives strength to you. But you have to believe. Don't go down doubting lane. Don't be faithless. Don't call the Lord a liar. It grieveth him. Believe. Believe. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So in dark providences, we have to write this verse on our hearts. Don't go down the unbelieving lane. Hold fast your faith. And then we can bring this word to our service for Christ and our labor for him, can't we? You see, brethren and sisters, as you know, we are presently here a day of small things. We're just a little village as it is. But it's a day of small things for us, even in this little village. And we have labored and little to show for it. You know that. And we're not coming rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. And we can despair. And we can go down the lane of unbelief. And we can wonder what it's all about. And should we even bother? You know, the prophet felt like that, Isaiah. I've labored in vain, he said. I spent my strength for naught. All those sermons are prepared. All those labors with the words of God and the prophecies for the people, my soul and heart are put into them, and it's for naught. Who has believed our report? It's for naught. But he didn't despair, Isaiah, because he said, surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work is with my God. He sees it. And those words of the prophet Isaiah, we actually could take them as Christ's word of his humanity. Oh, I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for naught. But he didn't despair. Remember how the apostle said, beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain in the Lord. Don't be faithless. Don't be unbelieving. Your work and labor's with God. It's with Him. He sees it. The time you put into it. The ministry that you do in God's house. Your work and labor's with God. It's not in vain. Don't despair. And write this when you get discouraged in the work. And while it is maybe a day of small things here, there's other parts of the world where it's not a day of small things. And remember, we're not alone. We're part of a vast body, the church universal. And there's other parts of the world where the Lord is mightily working. Remember how He said that I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Remember how we read that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And there are people being added daily to the church. Not here. In this village, perhaps. Maybe not even in this province. Daily. There have been times in the past where it was daily. But there are other parts of it's daily. And whenever you take in the whole world, the Lord is daily. He's daily adding to the church. He's daily building His temple. A big, glorious edifice. And He'll come back for His bride when it's finished. I build my church. Don't be faithless. Believe. The Paul said, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You know, we're not only a school lesson to sinners in the world, but the Lord is making us a spectacle to the angels. We're a school lesson to them. We're teaching the angels in our earthly labors and in our struggle of faith and in our going on against the perversity and wickedness of the world. So to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, the Lord is using us to manifest His manifold wisdom. And I've no doubt that even angels are present in the meeting tonight. We're a spectacle. We don't only be a witness, as it were, on the earth, but even the angels and the principalities and powers are learning things. Believe this. Don't despair. It may appear a day of small things. You just see a little clog in the whole machine and you think there's not very much there. But we're part of a vast machinery. And we're doing our little part. And the Lord is pleased. So don't be faithless, but be believing. And then apply this text, finally, to the course of this world. The wickedness, the apparent triumph of evil. You know, we look around us and there's a rising tide of immorality. There's resurgent Islam. And there's the apparent triumphs of the LGBT community. And there's a shamelessness. And there's a wickedness. And we could despair. We could despair. We could go down Doubting Lane about the whole matter. But we mustn't. We must believe the promises. We must believe that Jesus Christ will triumph. The triumph of the wicked will be short. Yes, it'll be short. They might boast today. You remember how the psalmist said, oh, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? How long shall all the workers of iniquity boast? How long are they going to boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord. They afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger. And they murder the fatherless. And they say the Lord doesn't see. And the Lord doesn't cure. And the God of Jacob doesn't even regard it. That's how they speak. Triumphantly. As if they've won the day. But they haven't. They might have won a battle. The LGBT may have won a battle, but they won't win the war. No, they won't. The Lord will triumph. He'll come forth conquering and to conquer. To whom vengeance belongeth, he'll come. He'll show himself. He'll lift up himself, and he'll show himself the judge of the earth, and he'll render a reward to the proud. So don't despair. Don't go down doubting lane about it all. The triumph of the wicked, it will be short-lived. It will. So write this verse over that. Our Christ shall triumph. What does the Bible say? All things must be put under his feet. Everything. Everything's going to go under the feet of Jesus Christ. Everything. So don't be faithless, but be believing. Our Christ will triumph. He's coming again. Our God shall come. Be believing. Our God shall come. He'll not keep silence. A fire will devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. Our God will come. The Lord shall go forth, the Bible says, as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. We believe it. No matter about their boasting and their arrogance. The tables will be turned because our Christ reigns. So don't be faithless and unbelieving. Be believing. The day comes. They'll burn as an oven. And all the proud and yea, all that do wickedly shall just be stubble before the Lord. The day will come that he burns them up. He'll not even leave root or branch. That's what the Bible says. He'll come in flaming fire, taking vengeance. It's his job to take vengeance, not ours. We don't have to fight the community of the ungodly out there. Vengeance is God's. He'll come. And he'll deal with it. Taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished. Oh, sinners are going to be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. And we don't wish that on them. We don't wish that on them. We want them to be saved. We want them to turn and repent and see the light and turn from their wicked ways. We do. We want them to be saved. Even the vilest can be saved. We don't wish it upon them. But if they don't turn and repent, they'll be destroyed from God's presence. And that wonderful glory that his people are going to see throughout all eternity. So child of God, don't despair about anything. This is a verse you can write over any situation in your life when you get a verse. Be not faithless, but believing.